Oh, when you hear that music, you know it's time to head east, where I'll be next week, starting Thursday morning. Just saying. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show presented by Creation CBD, products curated for life. Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville, now joins us at Vince Sports on Twitter. I'm sure he probably had a pancake this morning. There's a pancake house. I don't know if you've ever been to Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg. You can find a pancake house, typically. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, there are pancake houses everywhere. Still a lot of them that I have not tried, but there are plenty of options down there as well. And hope you have a nice trip here to the eastern part of the state there, Mr. McFarland.
Yeah, I plan on it. I'm excited. Trey Smith pancaked somebody last night in the KC win over the Giants. Yeah. How about that? Did you see it?
I did. Yeah, I tweeted about it, tweeted that video. And, of course, I said, like, Trey Smith's actually doing that to a professional. And somebody was like, well, it's typical Twitter interpretation, often not needed, thank you. Somebody's like, well, that would insinuate that he's an amateur. No, it doesn't. I'm like putting the guy over. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, Trey Smith's helmet came off, and that's what he did at Tennessee. He's been so physical and impressive. Obviously they've given up a lot in terms of pressures of the quarterback, but I don't think they're often coming from right guard. So he's been ridiculous and plays through the whistle and all that. So they have other issues, but I don't think rookie Trey Smith is part of that.
Yeah, and a sixth round pick at that. So I would say right. He has been excelling considering where he was drafted.
No question. And look, they passed on him a number of times. A lot of teams passed on him for sure. And it was just, I think some of it was just the situation, because they weren't able to get the medicals that the NFL teams really covet. Still coming back from all the COVID stuff. So it was just a lot of late angst and uncertainty. The Chiefs passed on him a number of times until they picked him in the sixth. A lot of other teams did. Obviously, the fans here in state would have loved for the Tennessee Titans to select him and keep him in state. But just a really motivated, mature kid with a ton of ability, and then now, has improved that medical situation, and the Chiefs are certainly benefited from it.
And another cool story, speaking of that, as we segue to an offensive lineman for the Vols, Dane Davis, right? What a season he's having on their O-line. A guy that was a walk-on, I believe, in 2019. I know he eventually earned a scholarship, but a big hulking man. He is a big frame, and he is having quite the season for Tennessee.
Well, he's getting opportunity for playing time. He has filled in for Cade Mays. He is not Cade Mays, but considering he's a former walk-on, he has played better than that, and he's earned that opportunity. And he's running with the ones until they had moved some things around during camp. I think he's done an okay job, in his opportunity. But we need to see. It would be nice to see this offensive line, what it can do with all their starters, and that would include Cade Mays. And I think Cade Mays is the last piece to get back to the starting five when K'Ron Calvert was out, and K'Ron Calvert is getting closer to being able to come back. But then you don't know how much he could contribute, where he could contribute, when he's going to be ready to. So that's another aspect of this line. It hasn't been very deep. And, Alex Golas kind of admitted today that that's been the lack of depth, and then the injuries on top of that. That's been one of their bigger challenges offensively to work around that. The offense is set up to kind of help out a non-dominant offensive line. And this coaching staff has certainly been challenged in doing that. And obviously Hendon Hooker has helped mask some of those things as well. It's not a deep or great group. And Davis, considering where he came from, has worked his way into playing time. We'll see if that continues or if Cade Mays is back against Kentucky. No specifics on that just yet.
I got a little breather. Two tough games, Ole Miss and Alabama. And then they get a breather, and now they get to come back to in Lexington against Kentucky and Georgia. So the breather wasn't for long because it's back to work, and unfortunately for them, they're probably going to get a pretty angry Kentucky team that went to Starkville over the weekend and laid an absolute egg.
Yeah, that was actually one of my upset picks. I did pick Mississippi State to beat Kentucky. I know the spread didn't make it seem like it was an upset, but obviously the higher-ranked team, the team with a better record. The road team hadn't won in that series since 2014. That was one of the things that additionally swayed me to Mississippi State's direction. But, I think that's the way kind of a lot of fans are looking at this, is that, oh, man, you wanted Tennessee to be the one to kind of surprise them and make them think that they were so great, and now they're going to have that bounce back. And that's been sort of another theme with the players and the coaches this week is you know, do you think you're going to get Kentucky's best game and the bounce back? And I think a lot of people anticipate that. But that's something that I think is more of an issue for elite teams. I think Kentucky is a good team, but or even an above-average team. I don't think they're an elite team to where they're automatically going to get this, like, Alabama type of bounce back. Oh, no, they're mad. Oh, no, Kentucky's mad. Now look out. I don't see them. They're a good team. They bring some challenges to the table for sure, but I don't think that is the biggest issue. I think there are things in the Kentucky will be tough to stop in, but I also think there's areas that Tennessee can take advantage against Kentucky. So to me, it's not as big a factor as maybe some people are talking about that bounce back type of element being.
Well, we talked a lot with you about the crowded quarterback room. Doesn't seem to be as crowded these days. Seems to be almost an echo in there now.
Yeah, it's like Hooker, Milton, and a bunch of Halloween ghosts. Like that's who are sticking around, you know. And then maybe the walk-ons, like in costume, get to join the party too. So it's crazy how we were talking about, you know, the five scholarship QBs and, you know, Salter and Maurer and now Bailey are gone. And it's interesting. You know, Josh Heupel didn't say a whole lot these days, but he actually had a moment of a little bit of honesty when asked about Harrison Bailey and his departure. And he said, you know, look, in some way I was kind of disappointed at the timing of it. And he said, but I love the player, love the person. And it's kind of, you know, college football today, college athletics today with the transfer portal. And it has change things, and kids are thinking about, hey, I need to leave during the season, and sometimes before, in order to give myself the best chance to land in the best new spot. And that's just so unfortunate, because it doesn't, you know, they preach team sport, but then there's just so much with the transfer portal and so many other things. There's so much individuality. There's a high school coach from you and Lauren, from Lauren's backyard there at Bearden High School. Their head coach stepped away. He resigned yesterday after 8 seasons. He's, you know, he's done a really nice job there. They didn't have a, you know, great year this year, but, you know, he talked about one of the reasons being the individuality of players and coaches today. And I think we see it in the NFL. It's gone down to college. College has exploded more, and you got to look out for yourself. And so you preach team, team, unselfish, but then so many other things that have been set up are towards you doing what's best for you. And I think that's, you know, he pointed that as one of being the tough things to kind of deal with these days. So college is that way, and, you know, it's tough. But, it's down to scholarship quarterbacks, and Josh Heupel didn't specifically say who we would be as the number three, but I think a lot of the arrows point towards Gaston Moore, who's a walk-on and transfer from UCF. So there's that familiarity with the offense, and would give him the advantage to be that number three if they need it. And rather than people are talking about, well, they have some former quarterbacks at wide receiver, Jimmy Callaway and Jimmy Holiday. I mean, to win games that way, when guys haven't practiced at that position, you are probably better off with a quarterback that at least knows what to do and where to go with the football. So it's dicey for sure.
Vince Ferrara here with us, 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. Vince, at what point does it get to where there's more clarity on the signal caller for the future, and not, you know, just having this revolving door and trying to figure it out? I mean, obviously they had something in Josh Dobbs for a good while, but just trying to figure it out where we're not constantly having that conversation of who's going to start going into a season.
Well, I don't know anytime soon, because Hendon Hooker's gotten more attention from the NFL and NFL draft projections. So now you have the Senior Bowl has him on their watch list to potentially invite him there. Those were things that were really not being discussed going into the year. He has another year of eligibility if he chooses to take it. But what will he do? I think a lot of that depends, right, one, on how the rest of the season plays out, and two, what scouts continue to see in him. So I think that clouds it up even more. And then Joe Milton has a couple of years of eligibility still. That doesn't excite fans right now. And then what do they do in terms of the transfer portal? Current commit Taven Jackson is a four-star quarterback from Indiana, 6'4", 195. He continues to have his recruiting ranking raised. Did they try to add someone here in the final stretch before the early signing period from that 2022 class? Do they go transfer portal again, which they did twice this year? So I don't think, looking into the distance, that there's clarity anymore. It's to use you and referencing the weather for Braves games, Chase. This continues to be cloudy to overcast in terms of that topic of conversation.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We talked about Darren asked you about UT and Kentucky this weekend, but just the final four in general. I've asked you before about stealing one somewhere, whether that happens or not. We will see, but you know what are you looking for in these last four for Tennessee, just when it comes to just simple play on the field?
Well, I think Tennessee has an outstanding chance to win this game at Kentucky. I think they have a better chance to win this game than I would have said going into the year. I mapped out the season for Tennessee before, and it was 6-6. And every single one of the first eight games has gone the way I had mapped it out. Lost to Pittsburgh, beating Missouri on the road. Now, I originally have mapped it out as losing to Kentucky, losing to Georgia, and then you win your last two to get to 6-6. I think Tennessee's in a better position, even though the record is what I thought it would be. I think there have been more positive signs for this team. And Kentucky, to me, hasn't quite, I know the record is still very good, they haven't quite looked as balanced and maybe better improved in the passing game as I thought they would be. Still very good defensively, still can overall run the football very good. They don't run a ton of plays. They're still, to me, a little inconsistent at QB with Levis, even though he's clearly better than he has been at that position than any of the recent guys. So I think that can be a positive for Tennessee if you get Kentucky playing from behind. It's tough for them to come back. Plus, the quarterback run game is what's given Tennessee the most issues defensively. And Levis hasn't really shown, or the offense hasn't shown, the ability to run Levis as a running threat. He can scramble, he plays a lot, things like that. But a little bit more like Bryce Young, and where he wants to still escape the pocket and throw, or only run when it's necessary. I think that plays to Tennessee as well. So I do like Tennessee in this game. And if you win that game, Chase, obviously it's an L to Georgia after that. And then if you can escape those game without being devastated or losing your starting quarterback in Hendon Hooker, I think you should easily take care of business in those last two against South Alabama and Vanderbilt. You're looking at 7-5. I mean, that is absolutely you.
You'll take that.
You will take that going into the year any day of the week. Decent bowl game. So I think that's what we're looking at for Tennessee is 3-1 down the stretch.
Real quick, Rick Barnes and company had an exhibition game against Lenoir Rhine. Never heard of him. But when that game, 103-62, it's hard to believe a week from today they tip off their season against UT Martin, and a lot of expectations on the Vols hoop squad this year.
Yeah, and I think this team is going to evolve as the year goes on. I mean, the crazy thing about that exhibition game, and maybe it was just an exhibition game, is they shot 46 three-pointers. I don't know that's their avenue to success this year. It's the second most in program history. They made 17 threes, which is a record for three-pointers. And so I think that was just, hey guys, getting an opportunity during a blowout and just letting it go. Kennedy Chandler leading scorer with 21. You know, you saw a lot of the newcomers play well and score well, and it wasn't perfect, it wasn't clean, but I think this team is going to develop as the year goes on. Love their depth. They have so many more options. So not a massive amount of takeaways from that, but yeah, seeing them practice, seeing them in that game, this is going to be a top 10, top 15-ish type of team, and a very different team than what we saw last year.
6:00 Central Time, 7:00 Eastern Time, kickoff at Kroger Field in Lexington on Saturday between the Vols and Kentucky. By the way, have they announced the time of the Georgia game?
It's a 2:30 game on CBS.
Yeah, and I'm headed up to Lexington, so I'll be there. Of course, temperatures plummet when Tennessee goes there to play that game. Like every time, it's frigid. So yeah, I'll be making the drive up a couple of hours to that game Saturday night. So look forward to talking about it with you next week and setting up that Georgia game.
Very nice, Vinny. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys are the best. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
You do the same. Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML, there in Knoxville. He joins us every Monday at noon. Yesterday with the Derrick Henry news, the Mike Vrabel presser, he joins us today at noon. You've heard me talking about Creation CBD. They present our show, and we're thankful for that. We appreciate them being a part of our show every single day from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. If you have aches and pains all over your body, like me, as you get older, that tends to happen, and you're looking for a solution, well, I've got it. Creation CBD. Creation means healing, and that right there says a lot. Creation is locally and organically sourced CBD products right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final cell, Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use. I know because I've talked with the folks, and they mean that. And especially for your pets, too. If you have a dog like myself that maybe has medical issues, maybe has seizures like mine, she's been dealing with that for over 3+ years. And since putting her on their pet tincture, tell you what, things have changed. It's been a game changer for her and for us. For the last 2+ months, almost 3 months now, it has made a massive difference. In fact, we see a huge difference in her. So if you're somebody that has a pet that you have to deal with that, you might want to try their pet tincture. I'll tell you what, it's changed our lives. It could change yours too. Order now at creationcompany.com. Creation CBD, curated for life.